This is Banging on the Drum. It is another beautiful day in West Central Wisconsin, and welcome to episode 149 of Banging on the Drum. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, go out and share with your friends. Like I said, we are only getting better, and with that being said, we need you to do something else for us. I know we're asking a lot for you, from you. So go out and join our bracket challenge. Mike, you want to describe to them what the
prize is? So you get to meet me at Hardee's in Old Fail. and if you're a real OG, you know what that means. So you can
free breakfast,
an old sun drop on the way home.
Yep. Sun drop for the road. That's what my dad uses.
I'm not buying those fucking bottles. Those are shit.
Yeah, he'll probably actually have like a cooler full of them right there. He might give you two if you're lucky.
I wish I just had you could drink sun drop the way I used to.
My dad uses it for coffee, but anyways, just sticking to this real quick. So we shared this link on Facebook, Twitter. So if you want to join this bracket challenge where you do have a legitimate shot to meet Mike at Hardee's in Oakdale for a free breakfast, join in there. I think I put the winning bracket in though, so Mike might be scot-free, or else you can email us at bangingonthedrum@gmail.com. I actually emailed every single person that we've ever had on the show, I think. And that's not true, but I emailed our usual suspects. So it was a big email out there, but go join that one. I don't know what it'll do for us, but I think it'll be fun to talk about a little bit. But as always, I'm your host, P-Dog, joined alongside M-Dog. I think we already skipped past that. But anyways, how you doing, Mike? What are we doing today?
So we're going to do overs and unders. We're going to do the tip of the week. We're doing Pat's observation of the week, Badgers, and Bucks breakdown. So,
yeah, and we had a lot of good. I don't want to jinx it. I'm going to knock on wood here, not too loud so my dogs don't bark. But dang, it was a lot of good basketball going on this weekend, Badgers-wise. I was all in. I had the March butterflies, and I don't know. They just felt different. It felt so good, and the Badgers played super well. I think we don't give out best job to losers usually. But man, I think Chucky might get a BJ after this conference tournament. He just, whatever. We'll get into our Badgers talk later. So tell me how your week went, Mike. Tell me how your week went.
All right. So I think I'm going to kind of go from in reverse order. So last night got way, way too drunk during the Badger game. Like real, like... gone for answering my own text messages in the group chat. Gone. So really not good. Almost stayed home from one of those. Puking last night, it was rough.
Damn, dude, I didn't know you were drunk like that. But
if I get drunk and I get this, if I start getting the spins before I lay down, I'm fucked and I'm gonna throw up.
Dude, I haven't had the spins in a long time. But anyways, going to the group chat thing. So we were, AJ Store like did that put back dunk, and he was like 2 feet above the rim when he grabbed it. And you just won't expect him to get there. So the group chat, which includes our dog, we were like, that's the most athletic player since, I was saying since Orlando Tucker. I think Orlando Tucker maybe could give him a run for his money. I don't. No, for sure.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. But AJ Store to me seems like, and it might be a recency bias, like the most bounce ever. And then I knew you were drunk.
Johnny Davis is close to that too. And we just don't get it.
You say that, but I just think there's plays. Okay. So let's get into the conversation.
They definitely play different
bit.
Types of basketball.
But this is what I'm saying. So I stopped arguing with you because I knew I was arguing with a brick wall at some point when you started bringing up how Showalter was better. But so my side point was going to be. So do you remember Ryan Evans?
Yeah.
He played with Bo Ryan, right? I could be wrong about that. I should have looked this point up. But anyways, he played for, you know, he played for a Badgers team that wasn't like this. Like where we were saying some stuff AJ Storr does, I think this is 100% true. Would, if Bo Ryan saw AJ Storr take a heat check and airball a three, like he would get benched.
Been benched for a couple of those. He would have been benched for the alley-oop he attempted off the backboard, I think.
That was so sweet. Actually, yeah, that's when. That one, but. Yeah. But he got fouled though and got to the line. So that was good. But anyways, my counterpoint to your bringing up other people being as athletic as him and then not being able to show their athleticism is Ryan Evans. Is Ryan Evans would do putback dunks. Like, you just be like, don't get me wrong, he was never like that great of a player, but every once in a while you just see something, you'd be like, geez. And I don't think Storr, like I said, I think he would get benched for some of the shit he did, but like not for a putback dunk or like anything like that. And who have we seen do that? Ryan Evans is the one I can think of. Orlando Tucker probably did shit like that.
Yeah, so maybe the better way to put it is he is the most athletic like player, right? Like he plays the most athletic.
Yeah.
Because there's probably guys we don't even know about that are super athletic sitting on the bench or whatever. Right.
Well, when you guys showed me that Showalter stuff, that kind of blew my mind. Like, I do remember him having some like sneaky, super athletic plays. But like, if you look at his like high school highlight clip, you're like, holy crap. Yeah, it's insane. Riley sent it. It's nuts.
Yeah, I should watch it. I didn't. So like, he is the guy that I think we missed on having him go to like grad school at Wisconsin and play wide receiver for the Badgers. 6'3", super fast, like can jump out of the gym. I think he would be very, very interesting football player.
Yeah, no, I mean, you guys got my wheels turning on him. But then I thought another really good one is you brought up Sam Decker.
And yeah,
I think he was or is still one of the more athletic guys that we've had. But I think he got to showcase that very little bit, not as much as he could have, but I remember some like reverse dunks, but I do not remember him getting like as high above the rim as AJ started to throw back a couple of the dunks that he's thrown back this year.
And like Davis and Tucker are both got to be way up there. And I would imagine Harris is too.
Yeah. Devin Harris. But even with Devin Harris, like I remember it was like a show stopping thing when he dunked. Like he would get, like, I remember a steal pretty specifically and he like one man breakaway and he just barely got her above the rim, but it was still like
Chucky.
Yeah. Like a super sick dunk. Yeah. Chucky dunked even a little bit easier than I thought.
So he had a dunk maybe in the Purdue game. And I was like, man, that looks difficult for him. That's what I was thinking in my head. And then he had like, I don't know if he was going up for a rebound or something, but he was way above the rim on that.
Yeah, he had a two-hander too. And I'm pretty sure if you're putting him down like with two hands, dunking isn't that difficult for you.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, so anyway.
I derailed the shit out of you.
No, we're all good there. But got real drunk, puking drunk, and wasn't good. Like sick enough that my wife was like, if you want to stay home from work, you can. And I have a pretty big problem with people who give themselves a bottle flu and then stay home. So I wasn't going to do that, but I was still pretty queasy this morning.
Oof. Yeah. I mean, I think that's super cool. If my wife gave me that out, I would take it in a heartbeat. I'm like,
yeah. See, my problem is if I start doing that, I might fall into that and just always just call in sick. Right.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? I don't need to be there today. See ya.
I used to be a big call-in sick person before you. I think you changed my mindset on calling in sick. I think even like my first few years at the gym that we worked at, I wasn't afraid to call in sick. Well, I was always afraid to call in sick, but I would still do it. But I think after you just never called in sick and took pride in it, I was kind of like, okay,
I need to be more like that. I came in 100% with the flu a couple times, like just sat in my chair and did nothing like the whole day, like just a shitty employee. Should have called in sick.
I'm here.
Yeah. Well, I did say quite often at that job, basically the only requirement is to be there. Right.
Yeah.
And so I did always make it. And then, so I got my face scratched up because, the wife and I were getting a little too frisky in bed, I guess. So
damn, you dog, you.
Yeah. So, yeah, right there. I don't know if people can catch it. My camera's pretty shitty today, but
yeah,
I scraped up pretty decent.
I can see it.
And I say that, but like it's true and also not true. Like what you believed when I say we got too frisky in bed is that we were fucking or something. And then, but that's not quite accurate.
You were putting the bed together?
No. So we were like just laying in bed and like the kid was like bringing us like fake, we're watching TV or something. And the kid was bringing us fake fruit or whatever. And we started fighting over which food we got. And then it came to like who is like taking up more of the bed. And so like I started saying some shit and she started like kind of scooting over, like, look at where I'm at. I'm not even close, but I could see that she was scooting over. So then I started making fun of her for that and like started like scooting my way too, like towards the other end. And then she tried to push me off the bed and I like put my head down and scratched me right on the nose.
Took a piece out of your nose.
Yeah, like a good chunk too.
Damn.
And then, all right. So, and then early this week, my washing machine broke. So from like Tuesday maybe on, we did not have a washing machine. Had to wash clothes at my in-laws one day. I mean, we could have taken them down to my parents too, but we were up at my in-laws, so we just took them up there and washed them while we were there. But fixed the washing machine tonight. Easy peasy. It was only 2 bolts. I just had to wait for the part to come in. Took for fucking ever, but and it pisses me off because it's like the whole thing is like one little plastic piece that snapped off and it's just a shitty like part.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like how a washing machine would break to a point where I can fix it. It's probably
this is what it was, literally 2 screws and bolts or whatever, right? Whatever you want to call them. And all you had to do was make sure that the thing goes into the hook, right? And then screw the 2 bolts in. It was super simple once the YouTube showed me how to do it. But so it was good that I got it fixed. I feel happy about that.
Did it feel pretty manly afterwards too? I feel like fixing a washing machine. Pump your chest a couple times.
Yeah, I feel
that's like that's probably why you got so drunk. You were like feeling yourself after fixing the washer.
I did this tonight. I fixed
the washer. Oh, okay.
And it literally took like 3 minutes once I had the thing. Went down to the state tournament. My team that I was rooting for did not win. Actually, probably had the worst loss of the tournament. West Salem got pretty stomped on Friday against Pewaukee.
Who do you got going in West Salem? A cousin or something?
Yeah. So my nephew on my wife's side he plays for West Salem.
Okay. So we both got West Salem ties.
We both got West Salem ties. Yep. Did you have anybody like that you still know going or just Riley?
No. Yeah. After the old crew went, or after the R Dog and his clan got out of there, I don't know any West Salemites.
That's all right. But then they took, I'm going to call it 4th at state.
Good work, West Salem.
Yeah, very good. Like, and so they got bumped up to Division 2, which is like last year they were in Division 3. Rumor has it they were one kid over the, like, where you move up or move down.
They're like an oddly athletic, like, I want to say cesspool, but I feel like that isn't the right word, but like,
it's I think they benefit from playing teams in the lacrosse area quite a bit, and then being bumped down to Division III when, like, Central is Division I, Holman's Division I, Onalaska, Logan, all Division II, right? So it's kind of like Aquinas. Aquinas went to the state tournament as well this year, but they get bumped down to, like, Division IV. Like,
yeah, because they're a private. Yeah, that one's ridiculous to me. But hearing you say the divisions, man, they've shifted since I've been around. Because what Salem was always below Sparta by, I want to say, one or two divisions. And
yeah, and
I can't see
Sparta's a one. Sparta and Toma might be Division I. I'm not sure. They don't do anything, though, so you never know.
Yeah, that seems crazy to me, having those two schools compete with, like, Milwaukee or even lacrosse schools, honestly. Not yeah, but crazy, so, but, like...
So, maybe not Sparta, but Toma for sure is, like, the largest landmass district in the state. Right? So, they have, like, Oakdale, Warrens. What is the other one? You did put Oakdale. There's another one in there. Camp Douglas. They got a bunch of, like, little towns around them that they encompass as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oakdale. That's where you'll be getting breakfast with Mike if you win the tournament.
And then so a couple, like, things with the kids. So my daughter got bumped up from just fourth grade volleyball to fourth, fifth grade volleyball. I don't know if that's, like, actually good long term, because the fifth graders that are on our team are developing. They're developing. Right. And so I don't know if you're going to, like, if she'll get better because of this or not. But she did get bumped up because she's one of the better fourth graders. So,
yeah, I would think you could only get better from that. But maybe there's some, like, aspects.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It might be fine. And then my son, who's seven, like, generally is not a guy who wants to, like, go out and play catch or, like, do anything with sports, but he gets at me basically every day now, like, wants to go out and play catch with football. So
that a boy.
Yep.
He's got an arm.
He does okay throwing. Not a cannon or nothing.
You gotta start teaching the mechanics. As I'm do just awful mechanics there.
Yeah, so I don't know how well he'll take super criticism on it, but I am trying to, like, so when we play catch, he always wants to catch it, like, in the bread basket, like, cradle it in, and he will try to catch it with his hands. Like, I always yell at him, like, you got to try to catch it with your hand, and so he tries, which is also good.
Yeah, it always blows my mind when I meet an adult that can't throw, like. But it's more common than you think. Like, I would say, like, 70% of the military can't throw a ball. Like when they throw a ball, you're like yeah. What's going on right there?
I had a buddy down in Kansas that played Division I football, right? Like, he was a defensive end at Missouri State. And I was like, well, like, anybody can throw a ball. Like, it's like... That's you grow up doing it all the time. He's like, I can't throw for shit, man. I was like, I don't know what you mean by that. Like, that doesn't, like, compute in my brain. Like, but
yeah, I don't have a cannon by any means, but, like, I can look like a normal person throwing a ball. Like, if I ever had to throw out a first pitch, like, I think, like, I wouldn't be, I'm sure I would get, like, super nervous depending on, like, the scenario.
I think the nerves are a big piece of it, right? But yeah. Yeah, I feel like I can throw 90 feet or 60 feet, no problem.
Yeah, and it would have to be, like, the nerves that got to me, like, in that situation. But I do think they bring out some people to throw first pitch that, like, don't know how to throw. Like, 50 Cent, exactly. I want to say, was like...
I don't think 50 Cent doesn't know how to throw. I think 50 Cent, like, that's a marketing ploy.
Oh, okay. But
I've definitely seen some guys who can't fucking throw. And maybe 50 Cent inside that realm.
Yeah.
How did your week go?
Oh, mine was great. So but I'll start with my under. So it was pretty scary at first. So we had, my dog has the crazy, she has like flappy ears. We've talked about this like off the show, I think. I hope, because else I'm retelling this story. But she is like ear infection because her ears are like flappy. I don't know how to explain that better. But like, you know how some dogs' ears are like just permanently up? Like that's one of my dogs.
Is that why they dock ears, is to like prevent the infections?
I don't know. I think that was more because
fighting stuff.
No, I think that was like, I don't think they do much of the docking and stuff anymore. I know like declawing cats has gone away and stuff like that. I don't know. That's a little bit different, but I think like docking a dog's ear was more like beagles and ones that were like bred, or not beagles, but like basset hounds. Cause I think their ears would get so long that they would drag on the ground, and that's why they would dock their ears. But no, I don't think so. Cause even if my dog, like docking her ears wouldn't be like the greatest idea. I guess I don't know where I'm going with that. Anyways, she has floppy ears. She gets ear infections all the time. So she's been scratching the shit out of her ear. We're trying to figure out something. We clean her ears all the time. Give her like medicine every single day to like fight whatever infection she gets in her ears, make them not itch as much. But anyway, she itched the shit out of it. Her ear got bloody on the outside of her ear because she was scratching it so much. So this wasn't like infection based. So she scratched the shit out of her ear, and then she would shake her head and her ear got bloody and she would start to get blood all over the wall. So we were like, okay, we're going to bandage her ear up so we don't have blood all over our walls. It doesn't look like a murder scene in here. And when we did that, we maybe should have done a little bit more research. But anyway, she gets a hematoma, something like that. Like, and her ear like filled with blood. So instead of being like a thin little, ear, it was like full of blood. And we were told too, it like wasn't necessarily because we bandaged her ear up. Like it's more of like a vein popping.
Okay.
So for all I know, that had nothing to do with it. And then she ended up having to get surgery for the thing because they drained it a couple times. So we got it drained twice, hoping that we wouldn't have to have her go under, because she's like 9, 10 right now.
Yeah. So old enough, right?
Yeah. But, and we always were scared to get her put under because we had like one vet one time tell us like, oh, she's getting up there, like you got to be careful if you put her under. And then this vet that we went to, they were like, no, she's fine. Like basically put all my worries aside. But anyways, turned out hopefully to be an over in the long run, because she got her hematoma taken care of. She got some stitches in her ears, looks a little bit painful. She definitely is playing it up big time. Like she's cuddling every second of the day. But then also, since we did get her put under, there was this deep ear cleaning they could do, and we got that done too. So we kind of killed two birds with one stone. So that was nice. So turned a under into an over. That's what I do. But then my actual over was, went to Nashville this weekend for a comedy show, and we went down early. Basically, best time I've had in Nashville since I've been here. I'm a fairly big Barstool fan, so I wanted to see what they have a Barstool bar in Nashville.
Okay.
And this will, I'm going to do my observation before you do your tip of the week, this one, because this will transition kind of smoothly. But so I wanted to see what this Barstool bar was all about. And the line outside was just insane. And then I probably should have known better that the Barstool fan base is like young 20s. But I think I've been following them since like my mid 20s. Like, so I just assume that they're their demographic aged with me. But like, we go to this bar and it's just like a bunch of like young people looking to find someone to stick something in that night. And the line outside of it had to be like 30 to 45 minutes long if you want to get in there. And my wife and I like walked past this line and we like stood in the back of the line for like 2 seconds. And I was like we both looked at each other and we're like, yeah. Shook our, like we didn't even have to talk. We just like, we're like, nope, yeah, not going. Yeah. We're not going in here tonight. So we ended up like bar hopping, like least busy bar to least busy bar in Nashville, just having an amazing time. And then we went to Francis Ellis, he's a Barstool guy as well. Like he does podcasts on Barstool, but he's a stand-up comedian as well. And man, he was awesome. It was, I haven't gone to many comedy shows, so I don't know how it stands up to in person, but it was like, not like a full theater or something. It was a comedy club. So it was maybe 300 people.
Okay. Yeah. I've been to one in La Crosse where it was like maybe like 30 people, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah. It was bigger than that. So I think like there's like open mics and things like that. And just comedy clubs that are open like every night of the week, yeah. And in places like New York, LA, Chicago, probably like where you can go in there.
They have them in Nashville.
Yeah. So this is
like, and the city had them.
Yeah. Zany's Comedy Club is called. And like looking at, they have pictures of like their guests and stuff, and they get big time people. Like most of the big time people have probably been in the situation. Maybe they weren't like huge at the time when they did it, but it seems like one that a lot of people go to. But yeah, it was cool.
Theo Vaughn lives in Nashville, so he's probably in there all the time. Got to just go figure out when he's playing.
But it doesn't feel like that because you look at their website and it's scheduled stuff. So I think some of the ones like that, I don't know, like are more open mic-y. Like you could go to a place in New York one night and they won't have, maybe they'll have like a couple guys scheduled or something, but they can get bumped if say like Louis C.K. like wants to try out something that night. Like you could just go to a place not knowing you're going to see him and then he would show up or something. And this isn't like that. Like this is like they book this guy. I can't remember the comedian that went before him, but it was like the six. So we went to the 9 o'clock show. There was like a 6 o'clock show and I didn't see anybody from 6 o'clock show. So this one, they had like a host, an opener, and then the guy that we went to see, Francis. And yeah, I mean, it was a great time. I don't know where I was going with that necessarily, but I even got picked out of the crowd. So we decided to get VIP seats, which I don't think was necessary. It was like $25 for like just general admission and then $35 for VIP. So we were like, yeah, well, we don't do that much. Yeah, like $10 extra. And yeah, we were sitting like right in the front and I was wearing some Bucks shit. And he was like, I seen we had like a Bucks fan in the crowd. And so then he like couldn't find me at first, but like I was pretty sure he was talking about me and he was like looking and like kind of like combing the crowd with his finger. And then like when he got close, I just like kind of like, I was like, yeah, I'm right here still. Cause he was like, oh, that guy must have, oh no. And then he was like right there. And then he just asked me if I liked Giannis. I think I threw him off cause I was like, yeah, I love Giannis. I don't know. It was stupid. Like he definitely did some crowd work that was super funny. But like when he got to me, it was like what I was saying. I wasn't giving him anything. I like apologized before it was done. Like I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know where you were going. I didn't say that, but I was like, sorry. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, people who respond to comedians in the crowd, like when they're not looking for responses, blow my fucking mind. There was a lady sitting like right next to me, and she was like, oh boy. She had like a comment for like everything. Granted, she wasn't like very loud, so she wasn't like throwing it off or anything, but like just because she was sitting right next to me, I was like, why do you think you have to respond to everything he's saying? And then sure as shit, he like flat out talked to me like word. I did need to respond. So then I think that like made her crank it up a little bit. Like, I think she was like,
yeah, I'm sure probably a little bit, right? You're looking for that attention anyway.
But. Yeah. So, but anyways, great time. Beautiful. But yeah, then we'll go into Pat's observation real quick. I'll be quick because I think we were a little long winded with the overs and unders, but lines blows my mind. And I think I've done this before on the show. I got to start getting more creative. But since we have to have an observation or a tip of the week, I can't believe anybody will stay in a line that is over 10 minutes. Like, what does it have to be for you to stay in line for over 10 minutes?
Something for the kids, I'm sure. Right?
So yeah, like, that makes sense.
We went to Disney. I stood in lines for like hours, like for a ride, just dumb shit. Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm not sure what I've stood in line for recently. I think I stood in line to get into like the Badger game for like 3 minutes, but I got there early. Right.
Yeah.
That was why, because the doors weren't open, not because.
Yeah. And I mean, I say that, and then I did wait in line for like probably 20 minutes to get into the comedy show, but it was like the same thing. It was because the doors weren't open yet. And then like once the line started going, it was going, but yeah it needs to be there, so pretty cool for me to wait in line. Cause yeah, there's so many
willing to wait in line for Oklahoma Joe's barbecue in Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the like niche places and stuff. Like I'm just like, I would go just get a hot dog, like average hot dog, over wait in line for 30 minutes for the best food of your life.
Yeah.
That's how much I hate lines. But that's all I got. That's my observation. If you are willing to wait in lines for over 30 minutes for normal things, you're crazy to me. Starbucks, those people kill me. Those are the worst. Yeah.
I get mad if I'm behind like one or two people in a drive through. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Why would they come here when I'm here?
Me too. All right. Yeah. Give us your tip of the week.
All right. Tip of the week. Daylight savings time. I should give this tip before daylight savings time, but so you start having sex 1:59 on daylight savings time, and then you can always say that you lasted an hour.
So what was the one that we just went through? So we,
that's the spring forward, right? So it's the spring one that you want to do it. Don't do it on the other one when you're at negative an hour.
I mean, and if you start at 1:59 and you make it the whole hour, or does it jump at 1:59 like on the dot?
So it jumps from 2 to 3.
Oh, okay.
Maybe so it's like, even.
Yeah. If you go before that 1 minute, though, like if you're having a real bad one,
yeah,
you don't even
just slow down, back out, right?
Keep moving. I like it, and then you can be like, baby, I'm a stud muffin. Just lasted an hour.
What you want from me? You've been having sex for an hour, Jesus,
an hour and 3 minutes, baby. Yeah. We got the job done.
Yeah. So if you need to be able to boast, right there it is.
I like it. All right, let's you go.
I'll turn over to the Badgers here. All right, so Badgers were at the Big Ten tournament this week, starting Thursday, right?
March 14th, yeah.
So they beat Maryland on Thursday, 87-56. They dominated this game. Came out and shot, 64% from three. Pretty ridiculous. Better three-point percentage than they had from the field. Blackwell went 4 for 6 from three and then led the team with 18 points in this one. Really, Maryland stood no chance. it would be nice if we hit all open shots the way we shot in this game, but we don't. So shooting was great. Pretty big strength. Weakness, wasted a good shooting game on a team you probably didn't need to waste that on. But had a good week. Friday they go. They beat Northwestern 70-16. And they got down 11 pretty early. Like it was like 21-10 or something like that. They battle back and they go up 33-29 at the end of the first half. They get up 9 with about 9 minutes to go. And then it never really falters much. I think maybe gets back down to 6 a couple times. But for the most part, they had it kind of in the bag. Store did have 30 in this one. Played pretty well. Again, they shot a very high percentage from 3. I want to say that it was like close to 50 on that game from 3.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pulling up wrong box scores. But yeah, this one, 10 for 22. So they shot 45% from 3. Okay. 46, but... Let me double check that one because,
well, 45% is pretty dang good. I didn't write that one down. I don't have a weakness for that game either. I didn't watch a ton of that game. Right. So Saturday, they play Purdue, number 3 team in the country. Badgers win this one 76-75. Zach Edey and Crowell both get techs early in this one. Edey sits probably the majority of the first half. I would say at least a good 10 minutes of this half. He sat. Badgers have the lead most of the first half, and then it ends up being tied 36-36 going into the second. Chucky comes up pretty big at the end of the second half. He forces an offensive foul and hits a game-tying layup with 1 second on the clock. Really... kind of put him and Klesman put the game on their shoulders at the end of the regular part of it.
What did you think of that move? I mean, it was, so we were down 2, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did Crowell just fall out, or was that Wall? I mean, they both
ended Wall up. Had just fallen out. Crowell got his 5th in overtime.
Okay. Pretty sure. So yeah, it was It was opposite, because that was the reason why I was like, why wouldn't you go for the win right now? Because you don't have Crowell to stop Edey. Okay. And then it was going to have to be Wall on Edey. And I just didn't think that that was going to be a good matchup.
I think they brought in Winter.
Or you could, yeah, you could be right about that.
And like one of those two followed out too.
Yeah, Winter followed out. So Winter, Wall, and Crowell followed out. And
yeah.
Wall and Winter followed out. Must have been an OT then. Definitely Wall was an OT. And it seemed like it was like a stupid foul too. But
oh, it was terrible. Like that foul call was pretty terrible. Anyway, Badgers go into overtime and dominate the actual gameplay, right? So I guess they were technically fouling people, kind of. But they scored a bunch of field goals. Purdue only scored points from the free throw line. Chucky had 22 in this one. I thought played really well, and really when you needed him to lock down defensively, he did that as well. So we were talking about Wall's foul to like foul him out, and it was Edey was just running down the lane, and Wall's essentially standing there. I guess maybe he's trying to do like a screen.
It was a charge. Yeah, it was definitely a charge. Like if it was anything,
but they gave him a block.
Yeah,
Edey
yeah.
charged. Like he's just running down the lane and just knocks Wall over, and like really should have been a charge. But I don't know. Like I don't know how you get a block call or a charge call without the ball. Like I don't.
You can. I think that's
like a screen call at that point. Like I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, because I mean, he should have been able to hold the ground that he had, which he did, and then Edey just ran him over. Because you can throw a pass and be like running forward, And if you just like smoke a guy that's like standing there in front of you, that's a charge still. So,
okay.
But yeah, it was off ball. Well, I mean, the announcers even said like, you don't see that call very often. You don't see anything get called there. But it did, to me, it seemed like something should have been called. And it should have been, it should have been a charge.
We're biased though. So I'm going to steal Big Cat's take on this. Oh, shoot. Like, they just treat Edie like he's like 5'6".
Yeah.
And like,
it's ridiculous.
And he is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, dude. There was some, I can't remember. I think it was Crowell getting elbowed in the face. Like two of our guys get elbowed in the face by him just when he's like backing down and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that guy's just a big, dumb mother.
He's might not be dumb, but he's like, just like a big, like oafy dude, like that. And the Big Ten refs let him do whatever the fuck he wants. And so why wouldn't you, I guess?
Yeah, no, I assume he's dumb as shit. But yeah.
Yeah, probably dumb as shit, too.
Looks dumb as fuck.
All right. And so the strengths here is that we played with one of the best teams in the country and we beat them. And so I think that's big. I think if we are hitting shots, like three-point shots, we can beat anybody in the country, including like a Purdue or an Illinois. So speaking of Illinois, we go into Illinois on
Sunday. 1 second. I got one thing to add to that. But not only beat one of the best teams in the country. I can't remember. Did they get a one seed? They probably.
Yes, they're the one seed.
Yeah. Okay.
They are not the one seed, but they are a one seed.
Yeah. And we beat one of the best teams in the country with, it felt like the deck was stacked against us.
It appeared like the refs were trying to fuck us out of that game. But we got to remember, we are biased when it comes to this. Like, we would probably look at any game and be like, refs hate us. You know what I mean?
No. I think that one, like, there's a general consensus that not even so much like the refs were against us, but there's something about the way that Zach Edey gets reffed in the Big Ten that's just, whether it's right or it's wrong, it's just the deck is stacked against you in that situation. Yeah.
So, well, so to be fair, he's a good player on top of the fact that they give him a lot of leverage abilities. Right. He wouldn't be as good without those leverage abilities, but like, he's a very good player to account for like him being able to be as physical as he is.
Yeah. And he does some stuff that's like kind of smooth sometimes. Like, I was on the take that he was just like a big dipshit that was good because he's big. But right after I said that, I sent that to a different group chat. Like, he did something like it was like a little jump hook, like with a lot of touch, and I was like, okay, but yeah, he's got some game for sure. So,
well, I gotta get like, off defensively. I think defensively, he's very like the way Purdue is allowed to play defensively because he sits in the middle of the lane is like they're able to cover the threes because they know nobody's going to drive in and get an easy layup.
Yeah,
and I think that's part of the reason the Badgers struggle from three when they play Purdue.
Yeah, they shot 21%. So, yeah, I mean, it was just a all-around gritty win. Sorry, that's all I wanted to put in there. So you already had it covered, but I felt my voice needed to be heard, Mike. Don't silence me.
Understand. All right, so Badgers play Illinois in the Big Ten Championship. Lead most of the first half, and like just kind of let it go right at the end of the first half and end up going down one into the second half. And then the Badgers get up as much as 10 in the second half. And then almost instantly they get up 10 and then they lose the lead and they're down like 4. Illinois seems to be this team that just figures out how to turn it on.
Gritty. They're like the definition of that shit. They don't give up.
Nope. And so the Badgers are tied 85-85 with about 2 minutes to go, and they just can't hang on. They score 2 points to Illinois' 8, and like just kind of slipped away from us there at the end. Stored it at 24 points. And like we talked about, looks like the easily the most athletic guy on the team currently, right? Whether he's the most athletic Badger of all time, maybe. He definitely plays a completely different style of basketball than every Badger we've ever watched. Again, we're playing with one of the top teams in the country. I think that's a 2 or a 3 seed in Illinois.
Yeah, a good 3
seed. I think our biggest weakness is, like, when we need a big shot, we just don't get it. We don't have the big-time shooter, and I think that's a Sejan. And he just isn't good enough to be on the floor in the rest, the other parts of his game currently.
Yeah, no, I was banging on the drum for a Sejan, for lack of a better term there. But he did come out, I want to say, in the Northwestern game. It might have been the Maryland game. It was one of the games like where we kind of had it in the bag. And he goes 3 from 3 from 3. And I'm telling my other buddies, like, I'm like, why is this guy not in the game more? And I know the reason is because of defense. But I was like, how bad can your defense be if you can come in and go 3 for 3 from 3 off the bench, cold? And then, like, I watched him defensively. And the other, or I can't remember, I think it was Northwestern. And then Northwestern was just knocking down big threes because he wasn't getting out on the perimeter. Right? So, yeah.
All right. So, lost the Big Ten championship game on Selection Sunday. And so, we ended up with a 5 seed. Looks like it's going to be a tough draw against James Madison University. However, I do think that if we slow this game down, I was looking at, have you ever seen Ryan Hammer?
I'm not aware of who he is.
So anyway, he does a trapezoid of excellence. In the trapezoid of excellence, we're not in that, but James Madison and the Badgers are on the same plane for offensive efficiency. And our pace is slow and their pace is fast. So I think if we slow them down, we'll light them up, right? Where they feel like they need to play a little bit faster. So slow them down, and we're going to get that easy win there. And I like the matchup because everybody thinks the Badgers are probably the dog in this game. And I think when they're supposed to be the dog, they play a lot better basketball.
Yeah. I mean, it is a tough draw coming. So it's a team that has 3 losses all year, and 2 of them are to Appalachian State, the other one's to Southern Miss. But, like, looking win wise, they got Michigan State, so common opponent that will in that one. And they got Michigan State first game of the year. They end up knocking off Michigan State. And I do think it's probably a great Sun Belt team. Yeah, Sun Belt.
Yep.
But yeah, Appalachian State actually won the regular season. App State's not in the tournament, so they had to win the conference. Sure? Yeah, I don't think App State's in the tournament. Because I feel like I would have picked Appalachian State to win a game. But yeah, it's just tough to tell who this team is or what this team that we're going against really is. I mean, you said it, which is probably true, that they play super fast.
Not super fast, but they play, we have the same offensive efficiency, and then we're at the slower end of the pace, they're at the higher end of the pace. Not that they're one of the fastest teams in the country or anything, but they are faster than us. They're on, like, the, if it's like a 4 graph, we're both above the Mendoza line, right? The 0 line. And then we're on the slow side of the Mendoza, like the vertical line, and they're on the fast side of it. But it's not, like, ridiculous. And we have the same efficiency.
So they shoot 70% from the line. We shoot 76% from the line.
Got him.
Yeah.
Easy
one. Too easy. And they shoot like 36% from 3. And we shoot 35% from 3, surprisingly. I feel like we had to be shooting like upper 30s to lower 40s before the month of February hit. Because the month of February for Wisconsin basketball was brutal. Bad. Basketball. Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree with your take. I like the optimistic pull on that, because mine was going to be a less optimistic pull. Is like, we see the Badgers do good like this, we get excited for them. And that seems like the time they just run into like a crazy team in the tournament, like where you hear a stat about them and you're like, Jesus, like they're like, I feel like we've gone into like who Dayton. So the Flyers the year, or not Dayton, Davidson. And they're like, this team hasn't missed a three yet this year. And you're like, what?
Like, this is only real? One dude that was shooting. Like, I feel like that same thing. We had Florida Gulf Coast, right? We had some team that like just about knocked us off one year that was like an upstart team. We ended up scraping away. I think we got beat by like a Mississippi State or an Auburn or something like that, because of one player that was just like ridiculous.
And I think I throw, so when I used to follow Marquette a little bit better, I throw Murray in when they had to play against Ja Morant, and Ja Morant just ripped Marquette apart single-handedly. And I like where your head is going into this game. Is it's not an opponent that you take lightly. And I think a lot of the country, I want to say Wisconsin's a 4-point favorite in the game. I could be wrong about that, but I do think if you listen to like bracket breakdowns this week, that's going to be a team where they're like, yeah, this is the 12 seed that's going to take out the 5 seed. So,
and that's what I've already heard. I think maybe it was like Seth Davis on the ESPN show said something along the lines of like, oh yeah, this is the upset right here. James Madison should win this game or something like that.
Yeah. So currently Wisconsin is 5.5-point favorite. So I think that bodes pretty well. I think I like that in my betting brain that I still don't know how to explain how I feel and how I bet on things.
It's basically whether you think you're getting trapped into a game.
100%. And yeah. I think in this game, I would throw my bias hat off. I think I would take JMU +5. And yeah, that means they're going to lose by a shit ton the way that I've been betting this year. So yeah. Wisconsin's probably going to win by 15.
All right. Good deal. Loving it. All right. Let's jump over to the Bucks.
One last thing on that game. So ESPN is giving the Badgers a 66.6% chance to win the game. So that doesn't bode well when you got 666 for your number. But maybe. I don't know.
So maybe it means that we sold our soul to the devil for that win.
Oh, so we're going to win the championship this year.
So we do get that win, and then we get crushed by Duke, maybe.
I'll tell you what, if Wisconsin wins a championship this year, I'm pretty sure you're not going to have to buy anybody Hardee's breakfast, because that's what my bracket's got going in it, is Wisconsin all the way.
I did do one bracket today, and I got Wisconsin winning it all. I think Marquette, Wisconsin, Elite Eight, and then Wisconsin getting through, then getting past Creighton.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to cover my wife a little bit, because she got her master's degree from Arizona online, and she's been searching. I think she's kind of jealous, not growing up in the United States, that we all have these like teams we can pull for. So
she can always just pull for Wisconsin. Come on.
But I think she wants some individuality, and I kind of respect that. So she does. She goes for the Bucks with me. She goes for the Packers with me. She goes for the Brewers with me. But college-wise, I think she wants her own thing. And she was going to try Indiana because her dad graduated from Indiana. And then something clicked to her. She was like, oh, I got my master's degree from Arizona. So she's becoming a Wildcats fan. And then on top of that, she likes
Arizona, cats. Wisconsin is like, we hate them guys.
I know. And that's who I
shouldn't say that. We always beat them when it matters.
Yeah, that's optimistic view. I mean, we got our ass whooped by them this year, but yeah.
But when
in the tournament, yeah, in the tournament.
We've beaten them three times in the tournament.
Yeah. So in the championship, when Wisconsin's playing Arizona, we're sitting pretty good.
Is Arizona one seed?
They're a two seed, so.
We might not beat them then.
Why is this?
I think the three times we beat them, they were one seed. So in 2000, we beat them. We were the 8 seed. They were the 1 seed. We beat them. And then we beat, maybe it's only twice, maybe in 2015 too.
Yeah, no, I remember a big win against a good Arizona team. All right, let's jump to the Bucks here and get these people on their way to work off the phone with us. Speaking of phones. Just had a random break brought to you by Hardee's in Oakdale. But Mike got some good information during the break while I was doing my job a little bit. Mike, tell him what you got for him.
All right. So the number one seed Arizona Wildcats were beaten by the Wisconsin Badgers in 2000. 8 seed Badgers beat them. And then in 2014, the number one seed Wildcats were beaten by the number two seed Wisconsin Badgers in the Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four. And then in 2015, the number one seed Badgers beat the number two seed Arizona Wildcats. So
good success over them. Kirk Penny Kirk Penny might be a good one to get on because he was on the 2000 team, right? Or am I crazy? That was even before.
I think so. But isn't he like Dutch?
I think he's Australian.
Oh, see, I thought he was like Northern European, but.
Okay. No, I could be wrong about that too. But anyway,
could be wrong too, for sure.
Yeah, I think Kirk
Penny. I'll look that up too, but let's get into the Bucks.
I'll stand on it. Kirk Penny was Australian. All right. So we're getting into Fear and the Deer. We ended a West Coast trip that did not go the way that we wanted it to. We go 1-3. Last game of this series, we get shit pumped by the Kings. Just an absolute ass whooping from there, but dropped a game to the Lakers that felt like we should have won. Got crushed by Golden State, which we covered in the last episode. And then we beat the Clippers. So. Yeah, that's all three of them. But yeah, recap, Kings game, Bucks won the tip off, and that was about it in this game. Kings start the game on an 8-0 run, never look back, beating the Bucks in every facet of the game. Honestly, watching the Kings, they were a pretty fun team to watch. Sabonis, all their guys that they got, Fox, Joe Dirtje, I think, is on the team.
Nice.
But Fox, Sabonis, and Joe Dirtje just absolutely ripped us apart. Complete team effort by the Kings. They were moving the ball all around. It kind of felt like we were playing Golden State in the previous game that we played Golden State. Don't have too much good to say about the Bucks in this one. So all I can say is the starters got a little bit of rest in this one because there was no chance we were winning this game. The Kings just absolutely whooped our ass. But then we get to go back home, a little bit of home cooking for the Bucks, and we play the 76ers, end up beating the 76ers 114-105. This was a great game front to back. Felt like the Bucks were just trying to keep their head above water for the first three quarters of this one. 76ers were playing really well. At one point, they were up 12 points in this game. And sure as shit, it looked like Campaign, who we traded for Pat Beverly, was out for blood in the first half. And he only ended up with 13 points, but he was 5 of 6 from the field. And just in a good time, when they were pushing the lead. And Campaign, he looked good. Like, why'd you trade me? Good in this one. But the Bucks were able to overcome the storm in the fourth quarter. Giannis was clutch, as he always is. Had a good game in this one. And then Brooke Lopez hits like a dagger three at the end of the game to kind of put this one away. Felt like a pretty complete team effort from the Bucks, taking punch after punch in this one, but not really giving up. They didn't shoot super well from free throw line, which kind of bailed them out in this one. They go 20 of 24. Giannis goes 14 of 18 for the line, so that's good to see. Dame was dropping dimes. He ended up with 9 assists in this one. AJ Green stepped up for us off the bench, giving us 3 three-pointers. You go 3 of 7 from 3, giving us 14 points. And I guess the biggest strength of the Bucks in this one that was better than the 76ers is we were just all around more physical team. We got to the line more. We out-rebounded them and then won the points in the paints. Weakness in this game, we have been letting teams shoot pretty well, and you'll hear more about it in our next game. So they ended up shooting 47.8 from deep and then 49% from the field. So defense, we did go on a good stretch, like where our defense was looking real strong, but it looks like it might be coming back to earth on us a little bit. And then the last game we got to cover since the last episode is from Sunday, March 16th. So right before the Badger game. We didn't even talk about how nice of a Sunday that was. We had a Bucks game and got to roll right into a Badgers game. But Badgers ended up beating the Suns 140 to 129. Chris Middleton is back, and he did not miss a beat. First shot that Chris Middleton took of the game was a three. Ended up hitting that three. The whole team was shooting lights out. So they shot 54.3% from the field and then 58.5% from three and 100% from the free throw line. Granted, I forgot to say Giannis wasn't in this game. So we get Chris Middleton back. Giannis is out. So don't get as many trips to the line. So we were 10 from 10 from the line. Bucks kind of pulled away in the second quarter in this game and never really felt any doubt going forward. Game got a little bit closer in the third, and then Dame hits like damn near a half court shot at the buzzer to end the third quarter. And then fourth quarter was just all Bucks for all intents and purposes. But yeah, not a very nerve wracking game. Strengths we got here, beat a pretty good team in Phoenix without Giannis. Chris Middleton looked great. I want to say after missing 22 games, I'm not positive about that. I think I took that right off the broadcast. And then Dame and Bobby stepped up big time in this game, combining for 62 points and splitting those points right down the middle. So each of them had 31 points in the game and got them fairly efficiently. So Bucks looked real good in this one without Giannis. Weaknesses that I got for this one, seems like they're letting teams shoot a little too good from the field. I didn't take down the numbers. I'm not going to waste your guys' time with the numbers, but I want to say Phoenix shot pretty damn well from the field. So it looks like the defense needs to tighten up if we're going to make a big run. But I guess this game was a shootout. So if the Bucks were shooting as well as they were, like I said, 58.5% from three, I guess you're probably going to let the other team shoot a little bit better. I don't know exactly how that balance works, but anyways, moving on, we have upcoming games. It's going to be must-see TV Wednesday, March 20th. So we go to Boston to play the first-place Celtics that are 53 and 14. So that'll be a good game to see where the Bucks really stand. Road game against probably the best team in the league right now. And then the next day, we are back home against the Nets, who are a pretty dog shit team this year. The 11th seed right now, so they're not even in the play-in game. So should be a nice little break, but I guess like traveling Boston back to Milwaukee might be an issue, but we'll see how that goes. And then we end this before the next episode with the game Sunday against the Thunder, who are 47-20, first in the West. So two very good opponents sandwich, well, one dog shit opponent sandwich in between the best team in the East and the best team in the West right now, record wise. So we'll get to see where this Bucks team really stands. So it should be a fun week of watching basketball because obviously March Madness, it might be tough to tune into the Bucks Thunder game, but I'm probably going to try my hardest too. But college basketball kind of rules this time of year. Probably not watching that Nets game Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, probably not. The Badgers do play on Friday, so
late Friday too. I think they're the last game, 8:40 tip. So,
oh yeah, that's super late.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just gonna be able to chill and watch it too, which is nice. And then get, stuff Friday.
Yep. Mike's gonna get Mike's hammered.
Good. Nope, probably Friday not. I don't know. Like my mindset is not back in get hammered mode yet. So.
Just wait till Thursday when you're thinking of how good that beer is going to taste Friday night after a rough week of work.
Yeah, maybe I might be thinking that, but I don't know. Like last time I got like sick drunk, it took me a few weeks to get back into it. So.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got for the show. Unless you got anything to add.
All I got is if you're doubting the Packers, the Brewers, the Bucks, or the Badgers, you can eat our shorts.
Like, subscribe, download. We love you. All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts. All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts.
Eat them. All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts. Eat my shorts.